This podcast is brought to you by LearnMyCraft.com. Now, we've all experienced the frustration of not having enough time to practice your art. So whether you're a total beginner or an experienced artist, LearnMyCraft has got you covered. With easy-to-follow tutorials using coloured pencils and pan pastels, you can level up your animal art skills today in as little as 45 minutes. Make practice fun and easy again at LearnMyCraft.com. Welcome to the Animal Art Podcast. On this show today, I'm talking with the very talented Amy Harwood. Amy is an award-winning coloured pencil artist from the UK. She's a member of the International Guild of Realism, UK Coloured Pencil Society, Coloured Pencil Society of America, and the Association of Animal Artists. Her work focuses on realistic animals, as well as detailed landscapes and family scenes. Amy's work has been widely exhibited and featured in many industry magazines, and I'm so delighted to talk to her today. In this episode, we discuss our most interesting commissions, using coloured pencils on different surfaces, the best method for creating outlines, how to connect with clients, and which is best, scotch tape or the slice tool. As we talk, we both drew number 77, A Dog's Eye, from the Practice Journal Pet Portrait Edition. This was such a fun conversation, and I think you'll learn a lot from listening to it. This is all coming up on the show today, so get your materials ready. If you're drawing along, hit follow and subscribe, and let's go.
How are you doing?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for this. I've been, since we had our initial chat a few days ago, I've been really looking forward to coming online with you. It's something really different. I've not done anything like this before.
Neither have I. So it's going to be really fun. I want you to close your eyes and open the book and then pick one of these at random with your finger. Go. Oh, I see. Okay. That's
right,
the white poodle dog eye,
it
hey?
Seems so, yeah. Always a favorite. Okay.
Here we go. Number 77. Exciting. So today we will do this one together. Do you want to tell me your process of what you're going to do first?
Well, I've already chopped out some pieces of paper ready, some different surfaces. So my first thought is trying to decide which surface I'm going to work on today.
Ah, it's a good idea.
So I think I might go for a pastel map with this one.
Oh, nice.
Because I know it's something you don't use very often, so it'd be nice to show people some different techniques maybe. So I might go for
used pastel map before, so I'm also very interested to see exactly how it works. I'm using, what am I using? Strathmore Bristol paper 500 series. I've been really enjoying this paper lately, so I'm just going to carry on using it.
Yeah, so I've already changed my mind. I'm just going to use pastel map. I'm going to go with a light grey one because then people can see me laying down the different colours of the pencil. Might be more exciting. So that's...
We are drawing white on white, which can be a challenge. I'm just adding some double-sided tape to the back of my piece of paper. I find this helps it to lie quite flat. You don't actually have to stick in your own pieces of paper, but it's quite nice to get, like, as an opportunity to practice with different pieces of paper. I have used the actual paper in this book a few times, and it's, you know, perfectly fine for practicing. You don't need to specifically do this, but, you know, we're practicing with different papers today, as well as seeing how different artists use different papers. So that's quite exciting.
Yeah. I think when we were talking, we were saying how you know, we each have different approaches to things. We both do pet portraits, but we do them in very different ways. And there's no right or wrong way. It's just finding what works for you. And I think with me in particular, it varies depending on the subject or whether I want to challenge myself with a different surface. I'm always doing things in slightly different ways, finding my own way with it.
Exactly. Yes. So I'm going to go in and just start sketching. I thought we could time ourselves for like 50 minutes or something and see how far we get.
It's not a race, Emma.
No, it's not a race. It's just like a timed practice exercise. Yeah. I personally have been trying to get faster with drawing pet portraits just as a technique to see, you know, what details I actually need to include in things to make it look like that pet, or to, you know, can the curly hair look be created in a different way to still look curly without drawing every single curl and all that kind of thing. So it's been an interesting exercise to be doing these practice little practice exercises, and also using different papers, I will start using different mediums actually. I was going to start using pastels, but I haven't got any pastels yet. So I'll get around to it.
I did enjoy working with pastels, but got into a terrible mess with it. And just in terms of all over my fingers, and I kept blowing it, which you're not really supposed to do, creating a bit of a cloud and things.
Yeah.
With the cats and the kids wandering around, I decided that maybe I'll just stick my colour pencils for now.
Yeah. They are a very clean medium. That's why I started them in the first place. So I'm just freehanding this eye using... I don't really use graphite when I do freehand, just because it tends to bleed and get messy and then you have to erase everything. Yeah, so you're using, what is that, a warm grey?
Yeah, I've started with a couple of warm greys. I'm using Polychromos to start with.
Yeah.
So I've got a warm grey 6. I went straight in with confidence to do a bit of the outline with a really light pressure.
Yeah.
Just to map it in. And then as I'm starting to refine the shape, I've gone in with more of a lower value. So a warm grey 3. I'm just going in now, just trying to get some of the shape in there,
yes,
rather than the details at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, I'm using this is called Burnt Sienna 10% Caran d'Ache Luminance colour pencil. I quite like the softer ones when I'm sketching things in first and as some of my first layers, just because you can blend quite easily with them, and you can do, you know, varied strengths of, you know, just getting it in there lightly or then adding a little bit more pressure. I quite like the softer pencil.
Yeah, it's a nice kind of pinky colour, isn't it? It's,
Sort of like a neutral. I like to go for quite a neutral. Like, I don't want to cool it down too quickly or warm it up too quickly, just trying to do a very neutral. And I do find that this is quite a good neutral colour. I don't always go for the burnt sienna. I just literally pick up whatever colour looks sort of like this. and this just happens to be a burnt sienna today. Mm-hmm. So any sort of like light pinky, even like lilac-y in tone, I tend to go for. So that's also when I'm tracing as well, because I normally trace out my commissions. I rarely freehand. So that's also been actually a really nice difference of doing these practice journals, is I'm just trying to freehand them all and practice that skill.
Yeah.
And that's just been really fun.
Well, especially when you've got, say, like now, I'm effectively on my lunch break, so I'm just having an hour out doing some drawing. And it's nice not to have to set up. I very often use a projector now to do my line art commissions. To start with, it was taking me so long to set them up, and I got really frustrated with getting the projector out, but I think I've got quicker over time, and I do enjoy doing it that way now. Previously I sort of scribbled on the back of a printout and transferred it that way. I think this is effectively what I'm doing now, is sort of what I would have done in a line art. Trying to map in some of the fur direction.
Yes, okay. So I've sort of like gone for more of getting my values in early. I know it looks quite heavy, but because this is such a neutral color, underneath where I'm going to be doing a lot darker colors is going to be covered quite easily. I think anyway. I assume it will be, but it's fine because it's sort of, I feel like this color is sort of like the undertone to around this poodle's eye anyway.
Yeah.
It does look quite pinky, fleshy. So I think I'm okay with going a little bit harder with this color early on and just getting those values in. I find getting my values in earlier just helps me to like structure what I'm doing and then what I want to do next.
I think I'm taking my time with it, because I'm still, part of my brain is figuring out what the next step is going to be and how I'm going to I'm going to approach it on here.
I think I'm going in now darker with some of the browns. I'm going to do a mixture of browns and what is this one? This is French grey. I really like this color for browny, shadowy, purpley kind of vibe. Especially in like sort of undertone shadow bits that you don't want it to be too dark. So it's not quite a brown, it's not quite a black, but you want it to be sort of cool, if you get what I mean. I've been using this color quite a lot lately. I've literally just been doing my tiger drawing. So I'm very like in the zone to draw and like focused.
Yeah, I saw that. Your first tiger, wasn't it?
Yes, my first ever tiger, can you believe it? Like, I love tigers and I just haven't had until now to draw any. I thought it would be a good excuse to finally draw a tiger, and it can also be a tutorial. So I'm giving it a good go. And I'm also trying to do it as fast as I can. So at the moment, I've only spent 4 hours on it. And I feel like usually an A3 would take me like, well, pre-baby, an A3 would take me about 3 days. Now it can take me up to a month, depending on how complicated it is. So I'm very pleased that I've been able to do it in about 4 hours so far, but those 4 hours are extended over a few nights.
Yeah, but some things speed up with having the kids, because I'm a lot more efficient with my time. So
yeah,
if I've got a 20-minute block, I make sure I do something in those 20 minutes. I don't procrastinate as much. But then there's obviously, you know, unforeseen circumstances, a lot more plan A, plan B, illnesses, whatever that you've got to deal with.
No, definitely having children makes you really think about, okay, what are you doing? Is it efficient? Is what you're doing? I remember I used to spend like hours just fiddling with my website. What a luxury, eh?
Yeah.
We're like, oh, maybe I should change the color of this box and add a different description. Like, I didn't even have time to even go on my website anymore.
Yeah.
I hope it's up to date. You know, yeah. I just have to focus on things that actually benefit my business. So but it's actually been really good in order to only concentrate on that thing. So this is a Caran d'Ache Pablo pencil. Do you use the Pablos much?
I do. I like them over top of the Polychromos.
Mm.
So I like them a lot on pastel mats. I don't use them so much on hot press. So I've been doing a lot more landscapey type pieces recently, and yeah. I don't really make much use of the Pablos as much as I have done previously with those.
Mm-hmm. But you're going, like, how does it go on the paper differently?
The Pablo,
yeah.
So on the pastel mat, what I've it's again, it's the hard pencil like the Polychromos,
yeah.
But there's just it's a bit of a magical element to it. It seems to smooth a lot better. So if I've got, say, two or three layers of the Polychromos down, I think it, because it's slightly more opaque maybe than the Polychromos, that when you put the Pablo on top, it fills in some of the tooth a bit more.
Yeah.
And there's some nice colours in the Pablo, particularly the greys. There's some nice nice greys and a few neutral sort of browns.
Yeah, they do have a very nice variation, I think. Slightly different tones of colours.
So do you think you could survive with one brand, or would you...
Probably not.
...want to swap?
I'm just so used to be able to switch between them now, because I've got full sets of the Faber-Castell Polychromos, Faber-Castell, sorry, I can't pronounce it, the Caran d'Ache Luminance and the Caran d'Ache Pablos. And then also I got a full set of the Derwent Light Fast when I was doing a collaboration with them. But I haven't actually used many of them yet. I do like them. I feel like they're trying to be a Caran d'Ache Luminance, like in terms of that softness and vibrancy. So I do think that if you can't like afford these pencils, because they are quite expensive, if you can't afford these, or you don't want to, like, you know, go in practicing with the Caran d'Ache ones, the Derwent Light Fast are a really good and cheaper alternative. I've heard Prismacolor is like that too. They're very good at blending, but I personally haven't used them yet. Have you?
I picked up a few greys, so I've been going through a monochrome phase.
Oh yeah.
And I wanted to, so I usually dip into the Polychromos for those, and then Pablo's on top. That's kind of my go-to, and I've been doing a lot of pastel mat pieces. And then I tried using more of a smoother surface, like a mount board, so rising museum board I've been using quite a bit.
Lovely.
I wanted to test how the different greys were working, so went in with my Luminance, and there's a lot of lovely French greys, but I didn't really have any bluey greys that weren't so many in that range. So I did buy quite a few Prisma to give them a go, because they've got a huge range of greys. That's the other thing. So the Polychromos are great for greys, and then Prisma have got so Prisma have got a huge range of warms, cools, and then French as well. So I ended up with like 20 or so new pencils.
Oh, lovely.
But I didn't really like it on the board. It went a bit, so my word for it, and I don't know if it's regional, would be claggy.
Okay.
So it was like it's sort of almost clumping up a little bit on the board. It was a bit too soft for me.
Yes, okay.
So I didn't use them there, but that's not to say that it doesn't work on other surfaces. It's just...
Yeah, it is surprising how different your art can turn out on different surfaces. You think, a piece of paper is a piece of paper, but that's what my initial thought was when I first started anyway. So I was just using like cheap printer paper. But my goodness, I noticed a difference when I actually bought proper art paper.
Yeah. I think you need the proper art paper. When you get excited by it and you really want to get going with it, I think it's worth investing in. But then, you know, I think for somebody new coming in, and I've not been doing it that long, it's quite daunting to start with.
Yeah.
You know, trying to figure out what the best paper is, or the right paper, or whatever, as if there's one answer. And I think
there really isn't, because it's different for everyone. And not only is it different for everyone, but it's sort of different depending on your style as well, and like how you like to layer or not layer or blend. And because papers sort of can either work with you or against you depending on how you like to work with the actual medium itself. So I do advise just to get small swatches, small little gummed pads, small things, and just try them out, I'd say.
I think my solution to it was just to keep buying pads of paper. I've got so many pads of paper. Yeah. I keep getting excited by it. It wasn't like, oh, I don't know what to choose. It was like, oh, I could have this one next. Yeah. And what, I wonder what happens to this one.
Because I was using my first like real paper I was using was the Winsor & Newton smooth Bristol board paper, which is very, very smooth. So it's not that helpful with using Pan Pastel as a base layer, but because I only really needed it as a thin layer, in terms of just blocking in the color and taking away some of the white, it was helpful then. And then I started using the Canesson mixed media paper, which was a lot more helpful when it came to pastel because it had a bit more tooth, but then it was more yellow, it wasn't as bright as the Winsor & Newton. So even though, it was better for portraits where I was just covering it completely, like there wasn't any white, it was just like a full background, full portrait kind of situation.
Yeah.
I don't really like it when your paper looks yellow and then you've got a bright white mount and then the paper just looks off. Which is why I liked the Winsor & Newton paper, because it's so bright white. It looks really nice in a white mount. And then now I've been trying this Strathmore paper, which I've been meaning to try for years. But it was always just sold in America, and now it's finally on Amazon properly at an affordable price. So I decided to give it a go. Again, it's not as white, but it feels really nice to work on. Like, it's smooth, but not too smooth. It's thick, but not like too thick. And at the moment, I've been really enjoying adding as many layers as I need to, really, without it burnishing too early, which is also what I found with the Winsor & Newton. But like that one I used for like 7 years. I didn't really change my paper for a while just because I was happy with what it could do, and I didn't feel like I had the time and the luxury to change papers and test other papers out while I was still trying to do so many commissions.
Yeah. I think I definitely fall into my comfort surfaces with the commissions.
It's because it's reliable, isn't it?
Yeah. I think there's so many unknowns with a commission anyway. If you can limit that and make yourself feel a little bit confident, more confident with going in there with the surface that you're more familiar with, I think that helps to start with.
Definitely. That's more my black is getting. I hope I've got another one. I'm using most of it. This was brand new. And I've used a lot on this tiger. So
it's interesting to see the different in terms of progress. We've been working on the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Obviously pastel mat seems like a lot slower process. I mean, obviously I'm a different artist and I could work a lot slower anyway, but I think it does look uglier for longer.
I guess because you've got a lot of tooth to work in, don't you?
Yeah, 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 I mean, this is quite smooth. I do work relatively slowly because I usually just didn't. I normally just get lost. I put music on and I'm singing away. Or now we're talking as well, so I'm not really concentrating on what I'm doing either. I'm drawing, honestly.
No,
But
same here. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be drawing this. What am I doing again?
I should probably
No, because I
explain what
normally
I'm
have,
doing as well.
yeah.
So I'm
No, I
doing
normally like watching something.
lots of sort of round and round motions, quite tight circles to, and really, really gentle brushes. So this is on the pasta mat. Blend it all down a bit as I go. Try and get
That to
rid of
slowly
some of
build
that.
up the layers.
I mean, the lovely thing about pasta mat is I find it's almost magical. At some point, there'll be a threshold, like a tipping point, and all of a sudden, all the layers will just blend all together. And you can feel it through the pencil. There's no other way of sort of describing it. It just all comes together at one point. And sometimes it feels like you're painting because you can move the pigment around quite a bit, which I like. And I don't get so hung up in the detail with a pastel mat, whereas I do with hot press a lot more. I'm a lot more deliberate with my strokes and things with a hot press, I think. And there's no problem with that, but there is a part of me that thinks, well, maybe I should speed this up a little.
No, we're not comparing each other. I'm just doing it really fast because that's sort of what I'm practicing. I'm trying to practice speed. I'm trying to practice, right, how much can I of this can I complete in the time to the best standard that I can do? I don't know how it will turn out. It could look complete rubbish, but I'm just trying it. Because also with the baby, you just don't have that much time anymore, and I want to do more drawing. And color pencil is a very slow medium, and I want to make it faster. Even my style is very slow because I like to do very realistic as possible. So,
Have you ever thought of doing things smaller? So I've seen quite a few really nice sort of miniature pieces, and
I've seen them around. Yeah, really beautiful stuff people are doing. But actually, if anything, I want to go bigger. I'm thinking like as tall as me, color pencil artwork. I'm not that tall. Okay, 5 foot. Okay. But a 5 foot color pencil piece would take you a very long time. Unless you had like a sort of speedy, rough style, I suppose. I did see this one artist on Instagram. I can't remember her name, but she did a huge like self-portrait. It was the size of the wall in color pencil, and she did a super cool thing of like, you zoom in and all you can see is just like, color pencil. You can't tell what it is at all. And then she zooms out and then you can see that it's actually a beautiful, realistic portrait of her. So I actually kind of want to try that and see how that goes. Because I love scale. I like bigger. I used to do a lot of big oil paintings at school, for my GCSEs. And then since I started doing color pencil, everything has been quite small and A4 or A5 or, A3. And it's scary when it goes to A2 because you're like, oh my gosh, when am I supposed to complete that? I'm sort of trying to build my speed now so I can go bigger. What are your sort of plans for your art in terms of style or subject, or what do you want to grow it into?
Well, I've been finding I've been enjoying landscapes and big background pieces.
Really beautiful. I love your work so much.
Oh, thank you. It feels like I've found, I enjoy the pet portraits. I do. I enjoy working with clients with commissions. Connecting to the artwork that way and finding out about the pet and, that they're very special, and that it's honestly an honor when somebody picks me as their artist to their drawing of their pet. But there is a part of me that just lights up inside when I'm doing, when I'm completely lost in one of these big landscapes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the ones that I've been working on have been things, you know, photos that I've taken,
yeah,
and memories that I have of that location. And it's like going back there, and then I get to spend weeks just back in that place with those, it's another form of art, I think. It's just another. So I really want to pick another. I keep meaning to pick another one to do another big piece. And what happened last time is then I found a different photo, which was a monochrome one of the kids together, and I decided, no, I'm going to do that one. It just sort of spoke to me. I was just flicking through my photos and I thought, oh, I really need to do this one next.
Yeah. I just love how you don't get lost in the detail as well, like, because that one with all the leaves, my goodness. I absolutely love that one so much, all those autumn leaves. I just don't know how you basically drew every leaf, didn't you?
So it seems that way, but it's not tied to the reference photo.
Yeah.
I think if the reference photo becomes a bit of a noose around your neck and you're trying to draw every leaf, then it's too intimidating. And I think that's what people think that I'm doing. Really what I'm doing is, if it suits me and my brain's just like, oh, I don't know what to do here, I'll copy the reference photo. But if it looks a bit complicated, I'm like, oh, I really don't understand what's going on with that, you know, that branch there, and is that a leg and what's that, and I'll just make it up, and nobody knows, because it's grass or it's a meadow or it's you know, a pile of leaves. And I think it's you know, when you detach yourself from the idea that it's got to be a replica of the photo, then I think it becomes really enjoyable. And especially if you've got that kind of connection with the photo or the place, or it brings up a memory for you. And as I say, just putting the radio on and you just do it for a couple of hours, and it's the equivalent, I suppose, to people that really enjoying coloring books.
Yeah, exactly. No, what you said about reference photo is very spot on, because I've sort of been trying to do the same and not get hung up on details, especially when they're not there. I actually prefer it when it's not a high quality reference photo, because then there's less details to sort of, I guess, scare you or make you feel like you need to draw every hair. Because if it is a bit blurry, then you can sort of make up your own details and your own impression of the fur direction and the little glistening in the light in the eye and all that kind of stuff. Like those become your details to add and to make it look magical and real from a blurry picture. So if anything, I prefer blurry pictures.
No, I know what you mean. I think it's about finding your way with it and making sure that it's what the reference photo is supporting you. So sometimes, as I say, sometimes I'm just not in the mood to make something up, or I don't want to think about it too much, in which case it's quite easy to follow a reference photo if it's clear. But as you say, sometimes when you don't want to get too hung up in trying to capture every little thing on the photo. It needs to be the essence of the thing that you're drawing. And I think that's what I'm developing more of as I'm maturing with it, is I now have the confidence to sort of say, no, I'm going to do it this way.
And that's where being an artist comes into it, because we're not photocopiers. We're not trying to replicate the picture. Otherwise, they could just, you know, go on one of those photo websites and get it printed on a canvas. That's not what they want either. They want your artistic vision of their pet. As long as it looks similar to them, then I think that's all we need to really achieve. What's the strangest commission you've ever had?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. You go first while I think. I'll throw that back to you. I don't know if I've had anything particularly strange. My dad wanted a teddy bear done. I don't think that's particularly not strange as such. But, it was different, but then it was still
yeah.
Forever, so
yeah. Oh, that's sweet. I actually painted a picture of my sister's toy elephant for her birthday a few years ago. This is the toy I chose for her when she was born, and she still carries it around with her. So I painted it in acrylics with some gold leaf and stuff. And then I did took me ages. I did a gold stitching in the background. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was really fun to do. I did that for her birthday. I still try and do art for people's birthdays and Christmas if I can fit it in, because it's how I started doing art in the first place. Before I was being paid for it, I was giving my art as gifts. And when you get busy being paid for it, then you stop sort of giving it as gifts. And I was trying to really get back into that. It wasn't really a commission, I suppose. I guess the strangest commission, or the funniest really, was this cat covered in cobwebs. I don't know if you've seen it.
I thought that you did a highlight with that in it the other day. I think I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought it was really interesting because it was just such a lovely memory for the owner. but I've never drawn cobwebs and stuff, especially over a black cat. So it was just so interesting and challenging and fun and strange all at the same time. And yeah, that was really good. I actually have a lemur commissioned. Oh, I haven't started it yet. I am starting this lemur next month. It's very exciting. So a previous customer has commissioned me to draw their friendly neighborhood lemur that comes into their garden. Very sweet. I've never done a lemur before. I'm very, very excited about it. So I guess that will be one of the strangest that I haven't got to yet, but we'll get to soon.
Sorry, I was concentrating on that bit. that sounds fantastic. Yeah. It's lovely when you know, the variety of commissions that come in. Do you have any idea of the size that you're doing that on yet?
It's A4, I think.
Mm.
On a fence. So we're sort of going to do a gist of the fence in the background, because it's sort of sitting on a fence. So it's going to be interesting. I'm excited about it.
I've got a St. Bernard up next.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've never done one of those.
I met him actually. He lives not far from my mum. I didn't take the actual final photo, but I did take some photos of him. Absolutely huge, the biggest dog I've ever seen.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. How big is this portrait going to be?
It's going to be A4, and it's just going to be of his head. I think sometimes when it's mounted and framed, you have to imagine the house that it's going to go in and how big it's going to be on the wall. And I think as much as I would love to do a big piece, and sometimes it does make it easier doing a slightly bigger piece, it does end up once it's framed for the client, it's going to be quite big.
Yeah. So, I'm almost almost sort of done on the eye. I'm going to start doing some of the hair around it now, sort of frame this eye. I'll come back to the eye, I think. It's not completely done. I feel like it's done enough sort of thing.
From what I can see, peering over, it's looking lovely, Sana.
Oh, thank you. Yours is looking very lovely too. You're getting that nice depth of colour in his eye.
Just so nice to be drawing again. I've had a week where actually the business has been more admin and training and stuff. And I have another job as well, so I work part-time. So this is actually my lunch break as well. So I've been marking this morning, so this is quite nice.
What do you do again?
I'm a lecturer at a university.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I teach maths and spatial skills to geography students.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's the exam season coming up, and coursework is in, and it's very busy. There's a big push, and then it quietens down over the summer.
Yeah.
And then my kid will be off.
Are you going anywhere this summer?
I think we'll have a little break, but nothing major this year. How about you? Are you
probably not going away, but going to try and travel to some more beaches around here in Pembrokeshire. Explore the area a bit more. Because it'll be our first summer here in Pembrokeshire, so I'm keen to have a look more around, see what there is. Oops. I'm using, what is this? Never look at what it is. Ash grey Pablo pencil to sort of go in lightish and add some of these shadows around the eye for the white hair. So this is it's quite a warm pencil, I suppose, but I don't want to go too warm because I do find with white hair it can go muddy very quickly. I've made that mistake a few times. I had to like erase it all.
My problem with white hair has always been I see more colour than hair. So people say, oh, it's white. And I was like, no, I can see colours. I can see pink. And pink is usually my problem. It's like, go too heavy with
too much like pink.
Like a sepia or something. And I just go, ah, let's have some of that in there. And I go in quite bold. And then the rest of the time I'm trying to tame it down with something like a raw umber or something.
Yeah. Go too warm, too fast.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe slightly what I've done here, but I think it's tameable. Tameable. We've been going for 44 minutes now, so that's quite impressive how much we've been able to get done.
It's quite impressive how quickly the time's gone, because I'm just sat here having a chat and a cup of tea and
I know.
drawing. Poor audience, they're probably like, you guys are just tuned in and you guys are just having a chat.
Well, that's the idea, where we're socialising.
Well, yeah.
Ourselves in our houses, but being very social.
Well, I wanted to connect with you because you've been quite active on social media, and I think very often you get this impression that artists are out there and they're competing with each other, and I really, you know, it's really not always like that. It's quite nice to kind of, you know, do something collaborative together, and you know, there's only so many so many pet portraits each of us can do in a year, and there's so many more clients, so
exactly. No, people shouldn't see it as we're all competing with each other, because everyone has a different style. Even the same medium, it still comes out differently. And also everyone has different personalities and we'll get on with different clients better. Some clients like more specific local artists they would prefer to work with. There's just so many variations to how you can get clients that it's not because, oh, there's so many pet portrait artists now, I'm never going to make any sales. Like that's just not true. It's all about how you're sort of trying to market yourself and be seen by clients, and also how you work with clients. Because I think a lot of the time, if you can be offered such a good service and be really respectful and be really just precious with your clients, they will just keep, they will become really loyal clients and then keep commissioning you, whether it's for them or their friends or their family. Like they do keep coming back, because a lot of my commissions now, 8 years later, I'd say 60% of the year I'm recommissioned by repeat clients, and the rest are new people that I've never spoken to before.
Yeah, that's so lovely that people come back to you for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's really lovely, because a lot of these, I think four of them at least, I have been commissioning me since I've started. So I've known them for nearly 8 years now. It's a long time to know someone. Like, I don't even have friends that long. it's just really, really lovely, because you're sort of with them through their journey, and they're there with your journey as well to see how you develop and change as an artist. And it's just really lovely. It's more than just, I'm paying you for this, thank you. You know? That's what I really like about doing commissions, and I don't think I'll ever really stop. I think I like it too much. Plus, every time I try and close my commission books, I just keep going. I reopen them again because somebody asked, and I don't tell them that it's closed. I'm just like, yeah, sure, when do you want that one for? Even though it may say it's closed on my website, I'm not actually closed. I'll still take commission. I just can't not. I enjoy it too much. Most of the time people were happy to wait. Like I've had one or two times where, you know, I've said, oh, I can't do it because, you know, they wanted it for a birthday like next week. You know, it's literally impossible. But most of the time they're very happy to wait. They're like, oh, you know, I'll wait till next year kind of thing. It's like, okay, well, great, because that's when I'm fully booked to. So you'll have to wait till next year and I'll get around to you. But until then, you know, we'll do mock-ups and chat and tell me about your pet, especially when they're all rescued pets. Oh my goodness, the stories these poor pets have gone through.
I know. Yeah. I remember
very
vividly coming home and crying after delivering one of them. And I'm not
oh my
really
God.
An emotional person.
Yeah.
I keep everything quite tight to my chest, and I didn't get upset at the time, but I came home and had a little cry, because you get really attached to them, because you know some of them I'm working on for 20 hours or more, and you're thinking about the animal and the stories and everything, and then when the owner sees it finally, and it's
I hear you. But nowadays I'm emotional about everything. Like, I don't know what's happened to my hormones after having a child. I'm like crying at everything. My daughter was watching some sort of what's that pony thing? My Little Pony movie. I just started crying. I was welling up. I was like, what is wrong with me? It's only My Little Pony. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me anymore. I can't handle anything.
Sure. It's not lack of sleep. Are you getting enough sleep? You're tired.
Yeah, it could be lack of sleep. I'm sure that's the number one reason to a majority of my issues at the moment. But I'll sleep when she sleeps.
Oh, I remember that advice.
It could be when they're five. But your one sleep through the night now? Do I have some time to look forward to?
Oh, touch wood. Don't ask me that. That's the first, isn't it?
Sorry, I didn't think of it.
So I've got a boy, Zachary, he's 8, and then Amelia is 5. Zachary's always been pretty good at sleeping, but they do get up early. So, if I want to beat them downstairs, I need to get up super early to do
what's super early.
Well, I have been known to get up at sort of 4 a.m.
to draw.
And sometimes I do get up in the middle of the night, because the most important time for sleep for me is like 9 o'clock. If I can bank a few hours at 9 o'clock, then I'm good. I can't really stay up late because the kids get up so early and I get up so early. And I guess that cycle would be different if I didn't get up so early.
Yeah.
So I've kind of invented that problem for myself. But I love coming downstairs in the middle of the night when the house is quiet and just having some, you know, me time.
Yeah.
When I don't have to break for snacks or arguments in the other room.
Oh, that's so funny. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, or like she wakes me up for like milk or something, and then I just think, oh, I'm really awake right now. Should I just stay up? Will I regret it? The answer is always yes. Yes, you will regret it. Because then she gets up at like 6. She's so funny. She gets up now and she's like, it's morning. And I say, no, it's too early. And then she likes to open the curtain to show me, look, mummy, it's morning. The sun is up. Okay. All right, let's get up then.
No, it's not. It's just the clocks have changed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to explain that. No. Changes are awful for parents.
It actually helped me this time because she was getting up at 5. I was like, no, don't get up at 5. Go back to sleep. They went, like, was it forwards or something? So now it's 6. So I guess technically she's still getting up at 5. But for me, it's 6. So psychologically, it feels a bit better. Can you use the slice tool? So like everyone does.
Not really. So I don't really like it on pasta mat because I think you can damage the surface too easily.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a bit too unpredictable on pasta mat. I have used it on drafting film, but drafting film is not my favourite. So I prefer using I use a kneadable eraser a lot to add kind of texture in. And my current favourite for removing stuff is using a little eraser shield. So I've got some Scotch tape on that.
Oh, yes, I saw you doing that. That was really beautiful, that method.
It just stops me from... So I've used Scotch tape before, so that's Scotch magic tape. Mm-hmm. And I've used it before. It comes in a little... in a little dispenser. I used to use it quite a lot. You dab off a little bit of the sticky first of all, and then you kind of position it over, and you can add in or take away bits of fur. But the problem with that is you end up if you accidentally stick it down to too much, you take away much more than intended.
Oh no.
So the razor shield just helps stop me from taking away more than I want to. So I kind of position it over so I've not got a lot of dark in here at the moment. Let's add a bit more warm grey in there. And then I'll position it over in the rough direction of the fur or the leaves or whatever it is that I'm wanting to erase. And I'll just go over it with my pencil.
Yeah.
And it takes out little strips of pigment. So there's a little strip of pigment on the, on the tape. And I think that it's, for me, it adds an element of randomness because sometimes I'm a bit too precise about where I'm putting my marks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if the tape's taking it off, then I can kind of draw around some of the shapes that it's created, and it ends up with a bit more of a natural look.
Yes, okay.
But yeah, going back to your original question, I know a lot of artists use the slice tool. For me, I think it blunts too easily for me, or I've probably just not given it a good enough go. I got a bit frustrated with it. It wasn't really doing what I wanted it to do. So I found other ways of working, and they work for me. So, you know, why bother?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone has their own method.
So are you using the slice tool when you've got quite a lot of pigment down and you're just erasing little bits off?
Yeah, I sort of use it for like the flyaway stray hairy bits. But I don't leave it. I don't like the texture that a slice tool leaves when it sort of looks like it has cut away at your drawing. I prefer a really like thick effect, if you get what I mean. So I then use a white pencil, like Faber-Castell white or Luminance white, depending on what I'm doing. And then I'll literally just go over what I've just sliced out. So I'm not leaving the cut. I'm using the cut to make an area whiter.
Yeah, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't really like the sliced effect. I feel like it looks unfinished to me.
A little bit harsh.
Yeah, very hard. I like things to look a bit softer, a bit more natural. So I like to go in again with my white and go into the bits that I've just cut out with the slice tool. And then right now I'm going in with my black and then just filling in any little shadows to just amp up that contrast. Especially around the bits that I've just sliced away, even like adding a bit of shadow to some of the hairs that I've sliced just to highlight it a little bit more. I hope Instagram Live doesn't cut us off at 60 minutes because it's about to be 60 minutes.
Well, if it does, it's been lovely, Samma.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I was a little bit nervous because I've not done the tech before. And I did have a panic when it wouldn't connect us. But other than that, well, those first 2 minutes.
We know it works. Yeah. I would love to do this again with you sometime.
Yeah, that would be lovely. Absolutely. I've got a whole book now that I need to fill.
Yeah.
And I've got plenty of lunch breaks coming up. So. Maybe we could get some other people, we'd give some people some warning and they can draw along with us and ask us some questions or something next time.
Yeah. Like if we decide what picture we're doing.
Yeah.
But I do quite like the spontaneity of just picking a random one, seeing how it goes. Like ready, steady, cook. You know what I mean? Like a game show.
Should make it increasingly challenging. You're only allowed to use Pablo's for this one. I'm like,
that would be so mean because I just love all of them. I guess that's sort of where I'm going to stop, I think. If I was going to do more, I'd probably add a bit more colour in these areas.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit more white. There's so much more you could always just keep adding, but I think it's good enough for the practice purposes that I've decided I'm doing. It's got some wispy hairs in there.
Yeah,
I'm really pleased with that. I think that was really fun. I'm loving yours as well.
Thank you. I love how different they are.
Yeah.
And like we said at the beginning, it's not a race. And I might carry on doing mine a bit later. I've got to go back to work for a bit. And then I might have another cup of tea or something later and do a bit more of the context around it, because I was just going with that.
But I love that shape that you're getting. That eye is looking really beautiful. I did do my like as quickly as I physically could. So it's not the best quality, but I think I've got in the gist of what I was trying to achieve.
Yeah. And there's something to be said for just daily sketching, isn't there? Yeah. I mean, if it becomes a big problem and you've got to find hours to do each of these, you're not going to do it. But if you...
Well, that's the good thing about this book is that each one of these haven't actually taken me longer than an hour yet. And I've done a few of them now. This one was close to an hour. Well, I think it was an hour, this one, but it had a lot of detail. Yeah. So, and I'd never done a gecko before. So that was quite interesting to do. But yeah, the idea of this practice guide is that you can just dedicate half an hour, and just see what you can do in that time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Amy.
No, thank you. It's been absolutely lovely. It's been lovely.
Really lovely.
We should definitely stay in touch, Summer. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too. We'll do it again sometime. Yeah. We'll organise another day.
Fabulous.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Have a lovely day.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.